Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got Call Your Shot Friday coming up later this hour at 7:45. So we'll go ahead and get your bold predictions in of the world of sports on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. To Ron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, coming up at 8 o'clock. And then Arpan Basu from The Athletic, who covers the Montreal Canadiens, will join us at 8:30. We'll get into the latest news on Shea Weber with him and what the rest of Shea Weber's career could look like, or maybe what it won't look like with Arpan, coming up at 8:30. So looking forward to that conversation coming up with him. Joe Rex Road, COVID-19 is becoming more and more of a storyline once again in the world of sports. The Yankees and the Red Sox have had a game postponed after six Yankees have tested positive for COVID-19. Now Bradley Beal is not going to be playing in the Olympics in Tokyo. And California, with the Delta variant and everything coming back out and how widespread that is getting right now, California, at least in L.A., is going back to requiring masks indoors, even for fully vaccinated people, which is very California, but whatever. So what do you think, as you look at COVID-19, it becoming a storyline again in the world of sports? We just talked about SEC Media Days, college football right around the corner, the NFL coming up as well, and we'll get to a little bit more specifically with the NFL coming up at 7:15. Are we worried that we could get back into the fall and COVID-19 could once again be a dominant storyline in the world of sports when we thought that maybe we were finding ourselves a way out of this and could get back to full normalcy of sports in the fall?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I've kind of stopped thinking about it for a while, you know, honestly, like in general, not just in the sports realm, but yeah, like the Delta variant is real. It's a thing, and apparently it's more it's more contagious. It's affecting young people more. I mean, like, again, just on a personal level, we had vaccinated, you know, Katie and I, and then our oldest, but then like Brennan is about to get a second shot, and we'll see with Caroline. I mean, she's 10, but
right.
I mean, like, I to me, it's important to get vaccinated, and the lack of vaccination. See, if you look at how these things break down, you can certainly obviously test positive if you're vaccinated. We saw that with NC State, right? Four guys.
Yes.
But if you look at, like, the hospitalizations and everything, it's incredible the difference. I mean, basically everyone who is being hospitalized who is having an issue is unvaccinated, you know. But how are you going – I mean, at this point, how are you going to convince unless there's some sort of carrot there for someone, for example, with the NFL – at this point, if you haven't gotten the vaccination, how many people are going to be convinced now to do so? I mean, I'm not super optimistic that a ton are.
Right.
I mean, it's been there. It's been available. Yeah, like L.A. County, and it's been an explosion of hospitalizations and new cases. And they're attributing it to this Delta variant. So unvaccinated people, this is according to ABC News out there, account for all hospitalizations in LA County. So every single person in the hospital is not vaccinated. So you can test positive, But the point is, it protects you against worse symptoms and, you know, supposed to protect it against spreading too. I mean, it's hugely important to get it. I don't know at this point how we can expect some big change in attitude. Some people have turned it into politics. Like it's I don't know. It's like owning the libs to not get vaccinated, you know. But, I mean, I think it's – we've talked about vaccinations. It's totally, to me, a reasonable thing to be concerned about it, to be unsure about it. It got – it went through so fast.
Yep.
It's very – I mean, it's totally legitimate, you know, to have concerns. But the conspiracy theory crap is not legitimate and I think is a big problem here. I just don't know how you get around it.
Well, I don't know either. And – also, I mean, from what we do and the jobs that we have, I mean, I talked about it earlier this week. It was nice to be in a room the other day for Pecorino's retirement press conference and actually be able to have human interactions with people. And you brought up, you know, the story part of this and the fan base and with college football, how, you know, last year you just didn't really get a whole lot. There wasn't a whole lot of stories coming out. There weren't a whole lot of exciting things in the NFL either, just because everything was the same cookie cutter press conference, same cookie cutter, you know, Zoom, and we'll get more on that coming up later this hour at 7:30. But I think Notre Dame is only allowing vaccinated people to cover them and things like that. So it's going to be interesting to see how the different, you know, different schools, different organizations, different leagues handle heading into the fall sports period here with, as you said, the Delta variant now very prevalent and out there, and you know, some people vaccinated, some people unvaccinated at this point. How do you go about making sure that you still are getting as many people in as possible to make sure you have your revenue if you're some of these sports, but also you've got to be safe as well. This is going to be an interesting balance to figure out, and also with college football, like, if you don't meet requirements this year in terms of your available players, could you forfeit? Like, we basically saw last year, the games either just didn't happen or they got moved and postponed. Could that be different this year? Like, if you're an SEC team and you have enough of a problem with COVID-19 where it affects your ability to play, do you have to either play with walk-ons or do you forfeit the game? That was not the case a year ago. I think that absolutely could be the case this year.
No, absolutely. And, you know, we talked about Bob Bowlesby earlier, Big 12 commissioner. So they have had their media days. I don't remember Big 12 beating the SEC and having media days first, but they did. Here's a quote from him. This is from the Ross Dellinger SI story. Quote, "Frankly, anyone not getting vaccinated is taking unnecessary and unwarranted risks. It's short-sighted to not get vaccinated. If indeed the Delta variant is as infectious as it is reported to be, not getting vaccinated is rolling the dice. As student-athletes, you're also rolling the dice on whether you're going to participate." And basically suggesting what you just said, that maybe now it's – I mean, obviously last year everybody's in the same boat and there wasn't a vaccine.
Right.
And you're testing, you're trying to quarantine and be careful. If you got a team that has reached the threshold and one that hasn't, maybe it's just that simple. It's like, okay, you get the L, you get the W, move on. You're still, again, like you said, I mean, what we've wanted here is full stadiums, full schedule, everything to return to normal. And I am worried because, honestly, a month ago, I thought that was a no-brainer, a slam dunk. I mean, unfortunately, viruses mutate. I mean, again, it's the fault of the virus. But it's how things have gone, and some scientists will tell you that if the vaccination rate was higher and as high as people had hoped, this wouldn't be a problem. But when you don't get vaccinated to a certain level, you have a higher chance of a virus mutating.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Dave in Big Rock texting in. What is the entire timeline that an NFL player is looking at under current rules if they test positive? What's the maximum number of games they could possibly miss? And are the Titans set up for an NC State scenario if key positions aren't vaccinated by September? Well, the threshold in the NFL is 85%. and you're wanting your teams to get to 85%. And I believe, what, nine teams supposedly at this point are at 85%? So that's the threshold that you're trying to get to, where basically if you get there, you can pretty much do whatever you want inside your facility. Now, if you're not vaccinated, you still have to go through the same protocol essentially that you went through last year if you're not vaccinated in the NFL. So I would assume if a player tests positive last year, you were out with a positive test, a minimum of a few days just to determine if it was actually positive or if it was a false positive. And then if it is positive, then it just depends on when you get over it after that. It could be, we saw some cases where, it was a week last year. Some people were out 2 or 3 weeks last year. So that's a person by person type thing. But
right.
The 85% is what the NFL is shooting for in terms of everybody in your building being vaccinated.
And that's the same in the SEC. It's 85%. If your team hits 85%, you don't have to wear masks inside the facilities. You don't have to test regularly. And Greg Sankey has had some pointed comments too, and I'm sure that'll be another big part of the week to come from Sankey, is just saying, look, the bottom line is, like, you get vaccinated, you get to a certain point, and you can be free of all this stuff, and if you don't, you really might pay for it on the field. And again, not just pay for it on the field, but everyone pays for it. If we have another disrupted season with some teams playing 7 games or whatever. I hope it doesn't get to that, but at this point, who knows?
ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in tomorrow night as Nashville SC takes on Chicago at Nissan Stadium. The pregame starts at 7:15 and the match begins at 7:30. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the COVID-19 protocols and how that could affect the NFL and maybe the Titans as well. All that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Discussing COVID-19 making its way back into the sporting news and the news cycle in general. And so we've talked about college football, how that could affect it on the field in terms of maybe there has to be some games forfeited this year. What about the NFL? We've talked about the 85% threshold that the NFL is shooting for with their teams in order to be vaccinated. 9 teams reportedly are there. I believe more than 70% have at least one shot. Are you feeling any better about the NFL this year? We were concerned. I remember we had this conversation a little bit over a month ago about vaccination requirements, how those weren't going as the NFL had hoped early on. Do you feel any better about the NFL situation that we could see a full NFL season uninterrupted with people in the stands as well in full crowds? I know that's what people are shooting for, and the NFL is shooting for at this point. I think pretty much every team is aiming to have full crowds and full capacity in their stadium. Do you feel any better about the NFL specifically, given what we've seen over the last few weeks and players getting vaccinated?
Yeah, I think it's pretty positive, given, like you said, about a month ago, it sounded like a lot of teams were really struggling, some of the stories that were out there, obviously, Montez Sweat with Washington and, like Cole Beasley's just stream of idiotic tweets from Buffalo. But Tom Pelissero reported a few days ago, yeah, like you said, 7 teams above 85%. So again, those teams are good. Like, they can just operate as normal. And again, for people wondering why, so Rich Eisen put out a tweet yesterday. I don't know if you saw it, but he tested positive. He's been vaccinated. And that's the thing. Like, I've had COVID and I'm vaccinated, there's a good chance I'd test positive right now. So that's why you get to 85%, you don't have to worry about that anymore. That's what happened to NC State, is then something happens, someone's sick, and you get the testing going, and now you're open to vaccinated guys who aren't having any problem at all just testing positive. And so it's not the most important thing about this, but in the sports realm, it's a huge competitive advantage / disadvantage based on how you want to do it. The fact that 70% of players have at least one shot now, I would not have guessed it would be that high. I mean, that's certainly higher,
yeah,
much higher, you know, than like the general population, and especially at that age. So I think the NFL deserves some credit, or teams on an individual basis deserve some credit for actually educating the players. You know, Roger Saffold, again, was asked about this and had a really thoughtful answer. Like, it's tough. You're not sure. You don't know. You hear all these things. You hear, frankly, you hear misinformation in a lot of cases. But he said, you know, I'm probably leaning toward doing it. And it seems like a lot of guys have kind of been on that fence and have gone the way of being vaccinated. So, you know, there's still going to be a lot of teams with restrictions when camp starts, which is 11 days away. But it's trending toward probably a lot of teams being at 85%. When the season starts, and then you start getting into, you know, which team is all good to go, and which teams out here might have some real problems in a given week and suffer for it.
Well, and what happens if they do, right? I mean, that's, you were able to get through and play every game last year if you're the NFL. Now, as we know, it took some finagling, and you had to move some games around with the Tennessee Titans being one of them last year in the NFL. But what happens if, let's say, 70, 75% of the teams in the NFL, they reach the 85% threshold, but you've got some that don't, and those that don't maybe run into some problems along the way. They have maybe an outbreak of COVID-19 throughout a week. Are you moving the game if you're the NFL off of that Sunday and disrupting your entire schedule? Are you just telling that team, you got to suck it up and get out there and play, or you got to forfeit? Like, the NFL did everything possible last year to avoid forfeit, and it's obvious they do not want teams to forfeit. And I get it. I understand why. I don't want teams to forfeit either.
It's valuable inventory.
But is that different this year? I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't think so, but there's got to be, I would think, from the NFL's perspective, a different way you view an outbreak this year, much different than how you viewed it a year ago.
Yeah, and again, even a year ago, remember how the Titans were vilified.
Yeah,
you know, during their couple weeks there. This is where I think the NFL and college football could be different this year, because I think, you know, in this league, every little bit of that inventory is so important to them. I think they would probably try to handle it like they did last year, as much as they could. Okay, try to move this game to Tuesday or whatever the case may be. You have to play with what you have to play with. You know, you have emergency squad, you know, all these things. They'll have bigger practice squads still and everything. I think the college football forfeit scenario is in play this year.
I do too.
I think the NFL is going to do everything possible. And again, I think this trend right now gives hope that, you know, maybe not long, maybe by the time the season actually starts, I mean, you're going to have some issues in camp here with some of these teams that still have to, some guys have to, you know, do the separate thing and all that. But maybe if, as this appears to be gaining momentum, by the time the season actually starts, you'll have more than half or even a strong majority of teams at this threshold. I don't know. I'd love to see the stats, because some teams reportedly are still very much struggling with this, you know, and in terms of the numbers. But it does seem like there's really good momentum here.
Yeah, and question is, where are the Titans? We don't know. I don't know exactly where the Titans are on this front from a vaccination standpoint, but to Dave's point, as he brings up on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, the two most popular brands of vaccination require two doses 28 days apart. I'm not good at math, but that doesn't leave us a whole lot of time to get started and meet that 85% threshold by week one.
Right. No, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, if you're at 7 now and you're at 70% overall,
with one shot.
Yeah, with at least one. I mean, that's still that makes me think that as August goes on, you could still, like, by the time you get to the start of the season, and then, you know, if it keeps going, by the time you get a couple weeks into the season, you might have a really strong number there. Again, it's just compared to what it looked like a month ago, a lot of guys clearly have been convinced to do it.
Yeah.
So will that continue? And the Titans, I don't know. The Titans, I had heard a while ago, you know, not great, not necessarily like terrible, but I don't think they're one of these seven teams right now. So how close are they? I don't know. I mean, it's guys like Saffold who are leaders on a team, who are veterans, smart guys. And I think guys like that can have a big influence on younger guys on a team.
Yeah, and also in training camp, I mean, we saw it last year. Training camp was much different. Now, this year it's going to be closer to normal. You've got preseason games, even though there's just three of them this year, three preseason games taking place. Training camp, you could have training camp open and, like, have your facility open and actually be able to meet in a room together this year in training camp. That'd be something.
How about that?
Maybe get some video work done in together in the same room. Just scrap Zoom. I think that's what the biggest takeaway from my week has been this week. Let's just get rid of Zoom. Zoom's a great tool. But that Predators press conference in person on, when was that? Was that Tuesday? It was a long time ago.
It feels like 2 weeks ago.
It does feel like 2 weeks ago, that's for sure. But that press conference, it was awesome.
It was.
And I'm sure NFL players probably got a little tired of Zoom last year as well.
Oh, I mean, no question. Yeah, and that's one of the interesting things moving forward is how much of COVID life gets carried into what we hope is soon regular life, but we're, you know, obviously we've gotten a lot closer to that. I fear too much of it.
Raymond on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, this year is different. If you don't meet the threshold, it's on you. The vaccine is available. You don't get it, the consequences are on you as well. No protections, forfeit. Talking about the NFL.
Yeah, listen, that's fine. I mean, last year, there were a lot of screaming at the Titans need to forfeit the Bills game, right?
Yep.
The NFL, like, every one of these games is a valuable piece of property, the NFL. And I don't see them. It's true that it's viewed differently at large because there's actually a solution now. But I don't think the NFL is going to take the hard line on forfeits. I think they're going to approach it the same way and move things around and do whatever they can do to get all the games in.
Well, and I think from the NFL's perspective as well, I mean, there were several issues last year that you found a way to navigate around and you still had a season, right? Like, you were still able to do it. I think there's a lot of confidence that comes from that, that it's probably not going to be as difficult as it was last year, and you still found a way to do it last year. You can figure it out this year if you really have to. I think that's probably the way the NFL views that. And certainly, to your point, they want to avoid a forfeit at all costs, just based on the sheer inventory involved with one singular NFL game. Like, how much money one NFL game makes. It's unbelievable.
I mean, fantasy football implications, yeah. gambling implications.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, the sacred 17-game schedule. You cannot have 16.
You can't go back to 16 anymore.
You must have the 17 games.
That's right. Go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. Get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Nashville's newest and largest axe-throwing venue, Bad Axe Throwing Nashville in downtown at 648 Fog Street. Aim for a great time at Bad Axe Throwing Nashville while enjoying panoramic downtown views, live music on the Bad Axe stage, curated cocktails from the full bar, and a Northwoods-inspired menu with a southern twist. Get yours now while they last at thegamenashville.com. When we come back, we will continue to discuss the Titans and maybe the media policy as they head into the season. We've talked about COVID-19 and how that affects the team. How is that going to affect people like myself and Joe Rexrode and the way the team is covered this year? Is it going to be any different than a year ago? We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game tomorrow from 5 to 7 p.m. for the Nashville SC pre-match party at the Hard Rock Cafe downtown. Party before the match on Broadway and get some game swag. Plus, register to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Then head on over to Nissan Stadium for the 7:30 match. Get your tickets now for Nashville SC at NashvilleSC.com and tune into the match on ESPN 94.9. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Call Your Shot Friday coming up in about 15 minutes at 7:45. So go ahead and get your bold predictions for the world of sports in on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, I've been harping on this for probably over a year now at this point about what life covering teams is going to be like after the pandemic is over or as we're coming out of the pandemic, like hopefully we are right now. We just talked about some issues that we're having at the moment. So hopefully we're getting closer to coming out of the pandemic. But I've said one of my fears as somebody who covers the Nashville Predators, covers some teams around here locally, is that Zoom press conferences may not be going away, and that maybe that they're going to be utilized from here on out in some capacity, maybe not fully like we've seen in the past, but Zoom may never truly go away when it comes to our jobs and what we do in the media. And I think that affects the way we tell stories. I think it's harder to get to connect with people that way. I think it's harder then in turn to come out with material and content and stories that the fans actually care about and that the fans are interested in reading and interested in hearing. I'm interested to see how NFL teams handle that. As we know, last year everything was on Zoom and you had to go on Zoom and it was every day the same press conferences. Everybody got the same access, the same questions, all that stuff. I think it's going to be better this year, but I do wonder with, you know, the protocols being what they are and the vaccination rates being what they are right now as well, do teams just go back to Zoom this year and be like, you know what? We kind of like the way it went last year. It's easier just to organize everybody in one spot. Yes, it may hurt the actual quality of the coverage, but it's just a lot more convenient. I do worry about that as we head into this NFL season.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to be right that, like, it's not going to go away. I guess to me, I'm fine with some role for Zoom as long as it doesn't, like, really cut in. For example, if it's already, like, a press conference, okay? Because I think the Titans are thinking about some different things for a potential role moving forward. I'm sure all NFL teams, I'll be interested to see what the Preds, you know, are thinking about this and the different college teams. Like a press conference where it's better in person. You prefer it in person, like you said, Pecorine the other day. The best part about the Pecorine, I mean, obviously Pekka himself is great. It was a good press conference. But then you had scrums afterward, you know, where you can kind of just, you don't have to wait for a microphone, right? Because the press conference with Pecorine was still kind of like a Zoom thing, right? It was like, okay, and here's, next up, here's Adam Vingan. Here's the microphone. Ask your question. Here's the answer.
Right.
It's the same thing. But the scrum, like with David Poyle afterward, and Sean Henry was over there too, that was conversation. You ask a question. Oh, wait, let me ask a follow-up question. You ask a question. Great answers. I mean, that's the big difference. If it's the press conference setting that they put on Zoom, I still say, like, okay, I would rather just the people who can make it over there get to ask the questions. The problem with Zoom to me is that anyone now, Jared, can join the call. I swear, I will miss, though, like trolling Jared after he asks questions in the Zoom chats, because usually I'm like, that's a terrible question. You are now banned from the premises, and he just ignores me.
Right.
But seriously, like, you have like 40 people now. Oh, everybody gets a question. Well, at the press conference, maybe 15 people would have showed up, and that's enough. You know, and frankly, I mean, I think you earn being able to ask questions at the presser by taking time out of your day to go over to something versus, okay, I can roll out of bed and punch up the Zoom call and now I can waste everybody's time with my question.
I did that a few times.
Well, yeah, I did too. But I mean, that was life. I mean, I'm fine. So I'm going to travel with the Titans again this year, but last year didn't really, other than like the Baltimore game. Got on the Zoom calls. I said it last year. Who traveled last year? Like three people.
Yeah.
I would have been totally happy to just let those people ask the questions. You know, and look, there's times where you're like, man, I really want this question to be asked. I really want to ask this question. Oh, it didn't get asked. That sucks. For the most part, they're going to ask the same. They're going to ask the questions that come to mind after a game. Okay. This year, I really hope it's just those of us on the road who get to ask Vrabel the questions and then get to go in the locker room and talk to players. It will be way better coverage, especially the locker room part of it, but it'll be better press conference too. If you have a handful of people and they all get like three questions, four questions, you know, like the Preds post game, how many people ask questions typically after those in a regular season game? Four people?
Maybe.
Yes. It's like you, Vingan, Diamond.
And Brooks.
Yeah.
That's about it.
You know, and then here and there, some, you know, I'll roll in.
A lot of people ask questions there. This year.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Everyone gets your one question. I mean, it's like kindergarten, you know? It's like, everybody come up, show and tell time. Okay, your turn for a question. No, it makes for crappier press conferences. So I'd rather people who cover a team on a regular basis who have better questions get three of them, four of them, than 27 people get one stupid question.
Well, also, like, the ability, to your point, I mean, we had a conversation with David Poyle and Sean Henry the other day, and you could ask a question, and then, you know, if there was a lack of clarity in an answer or you just wanted to keep going down that road and dig a little deeper, you could follow up. Like, typically with Zooms, like I know in the NHL,
they mute you.
You're not following up. Yeah. Like, you got to raise that hand back up, and they might get to you again in five questions from now. And at that point, the follow-up, I'm going back to five questions ago, John. What did you think about – I mean, it's a totally different way of doing things. And quite frankly, like, it's a totally awkward way of doing things. And I know it was a necessary evil. And I'm glad that we were able to adapt and at least have some level of coverage. But now – hopefully that we're getting to a place now, if you're vaccinated, you can be in there and have human interactions with people. That is always going to be the better choice. And I hope that these professional organizations recognize that and don't just take the easy way out of, well, we have it on Zoom and everybody can just log on to Zoom and you don't have to worry about, you know, waiting on so-and-so in the locker room. It's better. Make the sacrifice to be better. And to get better information out there.
That's one area where, like, the Titans were better than the Preds this year, by the way, is with the Titans, the way they had the Zoom is, like, you unmute yourself. And so you can, like, you know, ask Vrabel a question and say, okay, but what about this? And like Glennon would famously, you know, yes, like, have would. Three follow-ups every time he asked a question.
Yes, he would.
I'm taking the chance to take a shot at a lot of people here during this thing. Kaharsky, too. Let's make sure to get a shot in at him. But at least there was some back and forth allowed. But yeah, like the Preds or, you know, like Vanderbilt, like College World Series, you know, they unmute you for you.
Right.
And then there's no follow up. You're done. You're out. Here's the thing, though. I will say this when you think about Vanderbilt, for example. See, this is where it gets interesting because Vanderbilt had more people engaged in media stuff than I would say. In any other year, probably.
Probably so.
I mean, look, I try to make it over. I've always tried to make it over to their Tuesday football pressers, you know. But I was on more press conferences because I was like, well, shoot, here's a Zoom link. Sure.
Right.
And so from like perspective of like a Vanderbilt, I can see the attraction of, well, we get actually more people. Maybe you get more coverage that way by still having the Zoom thing. So – I mean, the other day with Pekka, we had it was in person, and then now we're going to go to Zoom. I can live with that, I guess. If you have it both, if you do both things, okay, fine. I guess the problem is, again, when you have so many people now involved who normally would not go to the presser. So the Titans, they're, you know, if they do like Vrabel's presser after road games on Zoom, everybody's trying to travel back, right?
Yep.
Well, for me, I'm going to be doing this show from whatever city, and then I'm coming home.
Right.
And honestly, I'm not. I mean, you guys will handle it. Ask him the right questions. You'll handle it, and then I'll find out what he said.
Yeah.
But that's me, and everybody has different jobs, so I don't think it's going to go away entirely. I just hope it's really limited. And every chance you get, you have in-person stuff. But the locker room is the most important thing with the Titans and the Preds, is having actual conversations.
Our buddy Gover on Twitter says, it's not the organizations I worry about. My concern is the NHLPA and all players' unions. They'll use this as an excuse to wean the players away from an annoying commitment in the locker room.
Yeah. I mean, look, hey, it's already, to me, ridiculous. And I've said this a million times. I'll keep saying it. The NHL should not allow the NFL to have way better access to its players.
Agreed.
There's no way. And they do. So, and I've seen it with, you know, I've seen it with some Predators players being annoyed with media obligations, but this is part of the thing that goes, it's part of why the NFL is where it is.
It's part of why your contract is what it is.
Yeah. Like, exactly. It's part of why you make millions. I mean, you got to have the big picture in mind. But that's a good point by Gover. It's worth being worried about.
When we come back, it is time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week. Time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Take it any way you want to take it. The British Open, we got some text about Major League Baseball already, and you could go a little bit longer term with the Titans and the Predators as well. Who do the Predators lose in the expansion draft? Everything is on the table on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's review last week's edition of Call Your Shot Friday. Joe Rexroad was out. David Beauclair was in. He had some shots last week. Beauclair saying Rocker and Leiter would go number one and number two overall in the draft.
Woo! Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.